The title of this morning's message is Triumph Over Temptation. Triumph Over Temptation. Today we are studying the temptation of Jesus Christ and looking at his ultimate example. Matthew chapter 4, and we will begin in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. He saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's pray. Father, once again, please, as we just sang, give us, Lord, pure hearts, clean hands this morning as we seek to understand your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this fight, this battle of temptation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Triumph over temptation. Let me ask you, when is the last time you were tempted? Maybe you're like, this morning, preacher, on the way here, when that person veered into my lane, you know, I was really tempted. Or as soon as my alarm went off, Pastor Nathan, I was pretty tempted right then. Or when I told my child for the fifth time to put on their shoes, you know, and the reason we were late, you know, I don't know, when was the last time you were tempted? And then let me ask you, were you victorious over that temptation? Were you triumphant? The first event in the ministry of Jesus Christ was his temptation. And by defeating Satan and enduring temptation, Jesus becomes our greatest example of how we may triumph over temptation. This morning, we're going to study four vital steps for us to triumph over temptation. Now, we're not going to get to all four today, but let me give them to you up front. If you want to be triumphant, these are the things we must do: prepare, run, trust, consider. Prepare, run, trust, and consider. Let's start with this. Number one, if you are to be triumphant over the temptation in your life, the first thing we must do, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Here is a certainty of the Christian life. You will face temptation. You can be sure of that. You can be certain. If I were to ask you this question, okay, do you know what movie you have watched more than any other movie? Do you know that personally? Like in your life, what movie you've watched more than any? I know the answer to that question, and it's not even my favorite movie. It's a movie, it's an action movie, all right? It's called The 13th Warrior. It's like Vikings and fighting. I'm not endorsing this movie, all right? I'm just simply saying, I have watched that movie more than any other movie, and here's why. When I was in sixth grade, I was living with my mom, my sister, my brother, my nephews, my niece, and every day in sixth grade when we would come home, my nephew, who is older than me, If you don't know how that works, just ask your mom, all right? He's older than me. He loved that movie. So he would put it on when we got home from school. Every single day. I am not kidding. We would watch it. It would end. And as soon as the credits would start, he would start it over. I'm not joking. And we would watch it again. And you're like, well, why didn't you ever change the movie? Because he would have beat me up, all right? So we just sat there and watched this movie over. And I could quote like virtually the entire thing to you. One thing I was certain of in sixth grade is every day when I got home, we would be watching that movie. Now, here's what I'm saying. As sure as you are hearing my voice this morning, one thing that you can be absolutely certain of in your Christian life is that you will be tempted. Without a doubt, therefore, prepare yourself. Listen to what John MacArthur said. Since the fall in the garden, temptation has been a constant, unrelenting part of human life. Men have tried to avoid and resist it, but no person has ever found a place or a circumstance that can make him safe from temptation. You will be tempted. Look at verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4. It says this, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then, that's the first word of that verse. So we should ask, when is then, right? The Bible says then, when, then. All right, well, when is then? Then is after what just happened. And what just happened? Jesus was just baptized. After he is baptized, then he goes up into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, here's something that's really important. If you are trying to understand the Bible, there are certain rules that we have to follow. One of those rules is we must always compare Scripture with what? Scripture. That's right. If you were just to read the account of Matthew here, you may come to the conclusion that Jesus fasted for 40 days, and at the end of that 40 days, then he was tempted. But if you read Mark and Luke's account, we're not told that he's just tempted at the end, but he is tempted for 40 days. So every moment of Jesus fasting, he is tempted by the devil. Well, does that mean Matthew was like wrong? No. Matthew's just focusing on one particular part of his temptation, the end of the temptation or the climax. Immediately after his baptism, after the Spirit descends like a dove, and the heavens are opened up, and the Father declares, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." From that mountaintop experience, Jesus goes down into the valley, or we could say the wilderness. Now, I want you to pay attention to one of the schemes of the devil. When does he attack, or when does he come to Jesus? Look at verse number 2. It says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered, and when the tempter came to him." Notice, while Jesus is fasting, while he's hungry, what does Satan like to do? He likes to tempt us and attack us when we are most vulnerable, when we are tired, when we are stressed, when we are hungry, when we are lonely, perhaps even when we are victorious, Satan tempts us. You say, even when we're victorious? Yes, even then, because often when we are victorious in our Christian life, what do? We let our guard down. So what do we find here? Jesus is hungry, he's fasting, and then Satan comes to tempt him. Even when we have victory, Satan still comes to tempt us. I'm reminded of this verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, that says this,
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he, what? Fall. Leave that up there for a second. Jacob, I watched a video. There was a track race going on. There was a young man who was winning this race. It was like a 100-meter dash. College, high school, I'm not certain. He's winning the race, and right before the finish line, in a moment of arrogance, he turns to his competitor beside him and waves at him. And then taking his eyes off of the finish line, he trips and falls flat on his face. And then the other guy goes past him and wins the race. Personally, that's satisfying to me, all right? I mean, it's kind of like he got, you know, the Lord humbled him a little bit. Is that not what Paul is talking about here? In a moment of glory, we crash and burn. When we let our defenses down, don't think for a second that the blessings or the victories of God will exempt us from temptation. Sometimes it's the opposite. This verse right here, it is written about the nation of Israel. Now, what do we know about Israel? They were more blessed and saw more of the power of God than any nation on earth. The Bible says they were led by the Shekinah glory, which is the visible presence of God, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, literally led them through the wilderness. These are the same people who crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, led by Moses, the meekest man on earth. That's what the Bible calls him. The guy who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. These are the same people. They watched Moses hit a rock and water come out of the rock. Miracle after miracle after miracle, they personally witnessed. God brought food down from heaven every day to feed them for 40 years. Could we say that they were blessed by God? Absolutely. Could we say that they experienced the power of God in their life? Absolutely. Why then? Why does Paul, before this verse, write about them? I'll tell you why. Because even though they were blessed by God, that did not exempt them from the temptations of the devil. And Israel fell into sin. So here's what Paul is teaching us. Wherefore, if they had all of that and still fell prey to temptation, wherefore, if you think you're standing, you better watch out. Because just as soon as you think I'm good, I'm secure, that's when you're going to fall. Let's kind of be real here. Do you think that because you make a spiritual decision that Satan backs off of you? Is that how it works in your life? No. Isn't it like then he starts to turn up the heat a little bit? Preacher, are you saying like even when I start reading my Bible, even when I start praying, even when I make a commitment to come to church, even when I get rid of some sin in my life, are you saying even then Satan's going to tempt me? I would say no, especially then Satan is going to tempt you. Because the closer we are to Christ, the busier the devil gets. So the nearer you are to God, the more you will be tempted. As we grow in our Christian walk, Satan's temptations don't shrink. They only increase. Sometimes after the greatest victory, we experience the greatest defeat. Don't miss this, okay? Do you think Jesus was prepared for this temptation? Do you think he was caught off guard? Like, oh, I didn't expect to see you here. No, the Bible says that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He is walking in the Spirit, and he is prepared. I ask you this morning, are you prepared for Satan's temptation? This is right on the heels of beginning his ministry. He's tempted. Isn't this how it works in our life? As soon as we make a spiritual decision, immediately after we decide, all right, that's it, I'm going to get serious and start living for Christ, we're tempted. Don't think for a second that Satan doesn't take notice when you start to honor the Lord. Then the temptation comes. Do you think that Satan is going to let up because you go on like a mission trip or go away to camp or you witness to somebody and they come to faith in Jesus or maybe you get baptized? Is Satan going to let up because you get baptized? Jerome said this, baptism doesn't drown the devil. That's true, isn't it? Baptism doesn't drown the devil. And if Jesus' baptism did not prevent him from being tempted, neither will yours. So prepare yourself. The devil can't make you sin. He would if he could, but he can tempt, and he does, and he's good at it, and many times the believer isn't ready. Are you ready? Prepare yourself. Like, okay, preacher, I get it. I got to be ready. How can I be ready? In the Bible, readiness is always associated with prayer. Let me be clear. This isn't some like magic trick, okay? You know who wants you to think it's a magic trick? Satan. He wants you to think there's some big, you know, secret that you have to figure out in order to live a victorious Christian life. There's not. It's as simple as it can get. We just have to do the same stuff we know we should be doing all the time. Amen? Anybody with me this morning? Just say amen, maybe. All right, thank you. Sometimes I got to see if you're there, all right? It's not a magic trick. When we come to the Bible, those who are ready are the ones who are in prayer. How can we be ready? Let me put it this way. If you aren't praying, you aren't ready. Prepare yourself. How? If you have no communion with God, you cannot be prepared. What did Jesus command his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Matthew 26, verse number 41, it says this, "Watch and pray." Why? That ye enter not into what? Temptation. Why? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Anybody else say amen? Preacher, my flesh is weak. The Gospel of Mark says, watch and pray. The Gospel of Luke says, watch and pray. 1 Peter 4, verse number 7 says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Colossians 4, verse number 2, "Continue in prayer and watch." Ephesians 6, and verse number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching." I say again, if you want to be prepared, you must be in prayer. R.A. Torrey said, "The reason why many fall in battle is because they wait until the hour of battle to prepare." The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle came. Anticipate your battles. Fight them on your knees before the temptation comes, and you will always have victory. Prayer and being ready go hand in hand. If you pray, you can be prepared. If you want to be prepared, you must pray. Let me be specific. Not just, well, I prayed for my food. I've been praying. I pray for my family. I pray for my needs. I'm talking about prayer, specifically about temptation. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, what did he teach them? Lead us not into what? But deliver us from what? Evil. John Owen said, if you do not abide in prayer, you will abide in temptation. Do you think that Satan knows what you like? How to tempt you? I mean, he's good at what he does. Last week, my wife, Sierra, she said, I'm thinking about making something new for Thanksgiving dinner this year. I was like, what is it? And she was like, it's a dessert. I was like, yeah. And she's like, it's a cake. I was like, yeah. And she was like, it's a pumpkin roll cake. I was like, oh. Oh. She was like, I know you don't like pumpkin roll. I saw your face when you said that, or when I said that. And I was like, I don't. I don't like pumpkin roll. It's gross. And you're like, oh, it's just so moist. It's not. It's wet. And there's a difference between that. It's like you poured water on top of it. And here's the thing. You're like, well, you just haven't, you know, I make a good pumpkin. I don't care, all right? You could take the best pumpkin roll in the world and set it on my desk tomorrow, and there is not a point throughout the entire day that I would ever go, oh, man. It's right there. I want it. Now, maybe one of the staff guys would come by and get it, but I wouldn't touch it. I would have no temptation. It has no effect on me. But, and I had some people get offended by that, by the way, in the first two services, and they're like, I don't know if I could come back, preacher. We had a visitor say, I'm not sure because I really like pumpkin roll. But Mrs. Kelly Dowdy put a bowl of candy bars on my desk this past week. And I'm talking the good stuff. It was filled with Snickers and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which are the two best candy bars in the world, all right? That's not an opinion, by the way. That's a fact. And she set those there, and they weren't there for 2 minutes before I was like, man, I see you. And I know you see me. And I got to the point where I'm like, I have to just take these home. I put them in my hoodie, you know, and I'm like, I'm just, when I got to bring them home because I will eat every single one of these. I will hide the wrappers and no one will ever know, all right? That gets me. It is tempting to me. Do you think that Satan knows what our flesh likes? What tempts you may not tempt me and vice versa. Look, I like to go fishing. Doesn't mean I'm good at it. But I do like to go and hope and pray. I don't know. Some of you, you know what bait to use when, and I don't. I'm just hope they're in the mood for some worm today, and I try to jiggle it around a little bit, I guess, and I'll go and I'm going to get a new lure, a new like jig or something, and I'm standing in the aisle, and I'm like, they're all shiny. And I'm like, I guess I'd bite that one. You know, so I'm gonna get that one. And do you think that's how Satan works? That he's just messing around? Just going to throw something out, and, well, I hope it sticks. No. And often the first ones that Satan goes after are those who are spiritually unprepared. When we aren't watching for it, when we aren't ready. So here's what that means. Every day of my life, I must live with a genuine awareness that as a follower of Jesus, I have an enemy who is trying to snare me in his trap. On top of that, I have a sinful flesh that is going to great lengths to lead me into that trap. James 1 verse 14 puts it like this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation almost always begins in my sinful flesh. My flesh sets fire to sin in my eyes, And then Satan comes along and fans the flame. I cannot be lackadaisical. I have no time to relax. I can't be apathetic in this fight. If I want to be triumphant over temptation in my life personally, I have to be prepared. Number one, prepare yourself. Number two, run when necessary. Prepare yourself, yes, but then sometimes you have to run. Run when necessary. Now, we're not going to get to the other two points. We're going to cover the rest of the passage next week, all right? But just focus your heart and mind on this for just a second. Yes, we are to be prepared. Jerry Bridges said this, some temptations can best be overcome by fleeing. There is much we can learn from the example of Jesus. But let me say this, much like the baptism of Jesus was one of a kind and unique, the temptation of Jesus is also very unique. So here's what I mean by that. We can make application today. Here's what Jesus did. This is what we need to do. Jesus was prepared. We need to be prepared. But at the same time, something we have to realize is you ain't Jesus and neither am I. Amen? Jesus stood toe-to-toe with the devil. Yeah. And he is God the Son, and you aren't. Well, the Bible says resist the devil and not to run from him. Well, it does say resist him, but in 2 Timothy 2:22, here's what I read. Flee also youthful lust. Yes, resist the devil, but we are also told flee or run from the things that we would lust after. Because here's what happens. The more we entertain the idea of a certain sin, the more we feed on it, the more we put ourselves in positions which allow Satan just to like dangle it in front of our face, the more susceptible we are to give in to that temptation. Christian, you are never to deliberately, willfully expose yourself to the attacks of the devil. So quit wrestling with that temptation when you should be running from that temptation. You're like, preacher, I'm just fighting it. Oh, I'm fighting it. Okay, keep fighting. But sometimes it's beating the snot out of you. Run away. Quit fighting and start running. Don't think that you can walk in the Spirit when you constantly expose yourself to the hiss of the serpent. Run from temptation. When I was younger, and I'm sure this was the same with you, many of you, as boys, me, my brother, my nephews, we would go out and we would just try to catch critters, whatever we could catch. We'd go down to the creek, and we're catching salamanders and crawdads, and sometimes we'd catch turtles. One time, we caught a snake. Like, what kind of snake? Black. I don't know. I have no idea. You're like, I don't know what kind of snake it was. It was just snakish, okay? And it was long. I felt like it was about this long. Now, as a kid, everything's like bigger when you're younger, but it was huge and thick. This wasn't just some little gardener snake, all right? The run of the mill. This thing meant business. And we caught this snake. We didn't know what to do with it after we caught it. We're like, now what? Like, I guess it's ours now. We put it in a bucket. We put a rock on top of it. And we're like, we got to figure out what we want to do with this snake. I'm like, well, let's keep it. So we eventually, you know, we were trying to get used to this snake. At first, we're terrified. We'd lift up the bucket and just like put it back down, waiting for that thing just to jump out of there and get us. So we'd peek at it, and that was about it. Eventually, we took that snake over to the yard. It was wide open, couldn't run anywhere. We dumped that bucket out, and the snake just laid there. So we went over
Eventually, we got used to it, and it got used to us, and we started touching it. And then we went from touching it to petting it. And then from petting it to holding it. And we're passing right here. You hold it. Now you hold it. Now you hold it. Some of you are like, preacher, necessary or not, I'm running from that snake, all right? And then we got to the point where we put it over our shoulders and let it slither all over us. This was our pet snake now. Now, I had another nephew, not the one that could beat me up. This is a different nephew, all right, who really took it to a different level. He started treating this thing like a puppy dog, all right? And I don't mean he put it on a leash. I was just saying he would get real close to it. And he'd start rubbing his nose against, like some of you do with your dog, you know, a bunch of weirdos. And no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's my baby. All right, whatever, okay? And he took this snake, and he's just, and he starts giving this snake kisses. And he kept doing this and doing this, and we said, man, you better watch out. You better watch out until one day. No, it never bit him. But I tell you what, we all wanted it to bite him, and we did. We were like, please bite him, please bite him. And it never did. We hoped it did, but it never did. I'll tell you this. That old serpent, the devil, I promise you this. If you play with him long enough, you will get bit. Some Christians, they think, well, I can handle it. And they think they're super mature because they can expose themselves to certain sins and like it doesn't affect me. I'm not tempted by it anymore. And they'll hang out right on the edge and think they're mature because they don't go over. And I would say the Bible doesn't call that maturity. It calls it foolishness. We are, again, never to put ourselves in a position where we are constantly being exposed to the temptation of the devil and think that, well, I'm strong enough. No, be careful. You think that you will stand and you're going to fall. Sometimes, in order to keep ourselves from falling, we got to turn and run the other way. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13, this is one of the, oh man, this is one of the greatest passages about temptation. Here's what it says. There hath no temptation taken you. How much? None. No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I love this part. But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. What a promise. But, let me pause here for a second. The true child of God does not need to fear that they will be overtaken with sin because God has set restraints. He has, in a sense, chained temptation in his sovereignty that there is a line temptation cannot cross in your life. So when somebody says, the devil made me do it, or, well, I just couldn't help it, this verse says, no, you could have. Because, why? With the temptation, God also will make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wow, what a promise. God will not allow a temptation greater than I can bear, but he will make a way for me to escape all temptation. Now, verse 13 makes me feel like invincible. None? I mean, there's none? Like, it can't touch me. It can't overcome me. That sin, that temptation can't conquer me because I'm in Christ. We like that verse. Then we leave off the next verse, verse 14. Even though God says no temptation will ever overtake you, I'll always make a way of escape so that you can bear it. Wherefore,
This is not what we would expect. I said, hey, you're invincible. Like there's nothing that can hurt you. Would you run, I mean, think about that honestly. If I said there's nothing that could hurt you, would you run away from danger? No, I'd be like, let's test this out. I'd be like, what am I doing first, all right? Give me that snake, you know, I'll give it kisses too. It can bite me. We're not that kind of church. I mean, if you were like, I'm invincible, I can't be hurt, would you run away from things that could hurt you? No, you would probably run toward it like a superhero. Paul writes, there is no temptation that can ever overtake you. So, like, let's run toward it then. No. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Even though there is no sin, no temptation, that is greater than you will be able to bear, still, run from sin. Get away from it. God doesn't force us to take the way of escape. Sometimes that way of escape is run, because it's a whole lot easier to avoid temptation than it is to resist temptation. There's a story about a guy. His name was Jerome Moody. In August of 1985, Jerome Moody drowned at a pool party. What made this so astonishing and what launched it into the news is where he was at specifically. He was in New Orleans at a pool party for lifeguards. There at the pool party, they were celebrating an entire summer season without any drownings. What's the lesson? Complacency often leads to tragedy. Surrounded by lifeguards, and he drowns. Who would have ever thought? Complacency leads to tragedy. In your life, Christian, can I tell you, if you are complacent about temptation, if you are lackadaisical, if you are apathetic, spiritual complacency will lead to spiritual tragedy. Prepare yourself. Run when necessary. The truth is, the victory cannot be won in a day. You say, preacher, I did it. Yesterday, I was triumphant over temptation. Praise God. But guess what? You have to triumph today. I did it last week, preacher. I was victorious over sin, over temptation in my life. Praise the Lord for that. But you have to fight the battle today and tomorrow and the next day and for the rest of your lifetime. You will fight against temptation. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a really interesting detail that we're given that Matthew's Gospel doesn't tell us. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, this is at Luke's account of the story. And at the very end, here's what he says. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he did it. He was victorious. He conquered. He resisted the devil. He was triumphant over temptation. So that's it. He beat him. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, notice this, he departed, yes, from him, and then these last three words, for a what? Season. He was triumphant. This temptation of Christ by the devil, was that the last time he was tempted? No. The battle goes on for a lifetime. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. But listen, for a what? Season. He will return. And when he does, will he find you prepared? Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand and you bow, if you're preparing to get baptized, you can come at this time. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you just a few questions before we begin our invitation. Who here today would say, Pastor Nathan, there's been a time in my life where I have personally put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's me. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? Amen. You can put those down. Is there anyone here that would acknowledge today your need of salvation? Say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I am saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that today? I'm not sure. I just want to pray for you. Okay. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, let me tell you this truth. God loved you so much that he sent his Son to live a perfect life and to die a perfect death so that you could be saved. The reason you needed saved is because the Bible says we have all sinned. We have broken God's law. There is a penalty, a punishment, a judgment for breaking the law of God. That punishment, death, and hell. But the good news is Jesus took your punishment so that you could be saved. If you need to put your faith in Christ, I want to invite you to come this morning. You can learn more about how you can be saved. Christian, when's the last time you were tempted? Were you victorious? Were you triumphant? We can be, but you have to be ready. Sometimes you have to run. Maybe there's a certain sin in your life that you've been messing around with for too long, and you need to start running today. Are you prepared? The Bible says we can be, and it starts with prayer. So what a better time now at this invitation to come, bow before the Lord at this altar, and ask God, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Please, Lord, deliver me from evil. You can pray and be prepared. Father, thank you for the victory that we are guaranteed because of your Son, Jesus. And because he, Lord, endured all temptation, God, we can endure temptation. You make a way for escape. God, today even, not just this week, but today, help us to be ready when that temptation comes and to run to that way of escape when you give it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.